It is May the 29th. We are in Parsha Shmos. We are on page 304. Pasuk Tezayin, verse 16. We're discussing the names of Hashem the past couple of classes. And now Hashem continues to give Moshe instructions. Once he's clarified the name that he wants Moshe to use, and as we said, he uses the name Ekya, I will be, and he also uses the name Hashem, but he tells Moshe how it's pronounced and how it is not pronounced. You don't enunciate the letters that it's spelled with, rather it's pronounced as if it were spelled Aleph, Dalet, Nun, and Yud. Then he tells him, Lech v'asafta es ziknei Yisrael, go and gather the elders of the Jewish people, v'amata aleihem, and say to them, Hashem Elokei avosechem niro elai, Hashem, the God of your ancestors, has appeared to me, Elokei Avraham Yitzchak v'Yaakov, the God of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Lamor, saying, "Pakod pakadati eschem, I have redeemed you. Ve'es ha'asoy lachem b'mitzrayim, where I have remembered you. Ve'es ha'asoy lachem b'mitzrayim, and what has been done to you in Egypt. Va'omar, and I have said, A'ale eschem me'ani mitzrayim, I will lift you out of the place of affliction of Egypt. El Eretz HaKnani VaHachiti VaHemori VaPrizi VaChivi VaYevusi, to the land of the Knani, the Chiti, the Emori, the Prizi, the Chivi, and the Yevusi. Those are six of the seven nations that lived in the land of Israel. El Eretz Zavas Chalav UDevash, to a land that flows with milk and honey. Vishamu LeKolecha, they will listen to your voice. Uvasa, so they, the elders, will listen to your voice. Uvasa, and you will come. Ata, you, v'ziknei Yisrael, you and the elders of Israel. El melech Mitzrayim, to the king of Egypt. Va'amartem elav, and you shall say to him, Hashem Elokei ha'ivriyim nikra aleinu. God, Hashem, the God of the Hebrews, has happened upon us. Ve'ata, and now, let us go now a path of 3 days, a 3 day journey in the wilderness. When we will worship, or we will give, okay, the translators bring offerings to Hashem our God. That's what you should say to Paro. Vani adati, and I know, says Hashem, that the king of Egypt will not allow you to go. V'lo biyad chazaka. Now, that's translated as except through a strong hand. Meaning that the king of Egypt will not let you go unless I use strong arm tactics against him, unless I bring plagues against him. There's another way of translating that line, which is, he's not going to let you go, but not because he's so strong. Not because of his strong hand. The reason he's not going to let you go is not because he's actually strong enough to keep me from getting you out, but because he's going to harden his heart. I will send my hand, I will strike the Egyptians with all of my wonders that I will do in their midst, and afterwards they will send you out, and I will place the favor of this nation in the eyes of the Egyptians. It will be when they go, they will not go empty handed. A woman will borrow from her neighbor and from the one who lives in her house, silver utensils, gold utensils, and clothing. You shall place them, the clothing, on your sons and on your daughters. And you shall empty Egypt. You'll totally empty out the Egyptians. So those are instructions and predictions that Hashem is telling Moshe Rabbeinu to do, and what will happen in the future.
It's not just a prediction, it's a fulfillment of the promise he made to Abraham that when they leave, they'll be rich.
That's true.
Is that why it says Elokei Avraham?
It says Yitzchak and Yaakov also.
Yeah.
So this is what Hashem tells Moshe. So he tells him to gather the elders, and he tells him what to say to the elders. Then he tells them, then you and the elders will go to the king of Egypt, and he tells him what to say to the king of Egypt, which is not exactly the same thing he tells him to say to the elders. There are some differences, some significant differences in the report that Moshe is told to tell the elders and the report that he's told to tell the king of Egypt. But Hashem says, you will all go to the king of Egypt, you will say a different report. And I know, says Hashem, that the king of Egypt will not let you go, and I'm going to have to strike the Egyptians with wonders. And when that's over, then they will send you out. But they won't just send you out empty-handed. I will put the favor of the nation in the eyes of the Egyptians, and they will send you out with silver, gold, and clothing, and you will put it on your children, and you will empty Egypt. Turning back to where we started this evening, Pasuk Tezayin, verse 16, this comes on the heels of what we learned last time, which was what Hashem told Moshe to tell the Jewish people. As Moshe is given three reports to say. One for the people, one for the elders, and one for the king of Egypt. If we look back at what he was told to tell the people, which we read last time, which is Pasuk Tezvah, verse 15, it really starts in Pasuk Yudal, verse 14, where he said, towards the end of Yudal, towards the end of 14, Ko somar livnei Yisrael, so you should say to the Jewish people, Ekyeh shlochani aleichem, Ekyeh has sent me to you, Ekyeh meaning I will be. And then it says, Vayomer od Elokim al Moshe, Hashem said more to Moshe, Ko somar al bnei Yisrael, so you should say to the Jewish people, Hashem Elokei Avosechem, Hashem the God of your ancestors, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, Shlochani aleichem, the God of Abraham, the God of Yitzchak, the God of Yaakov sent me to you. Ze shemi le'olam, this is my name forever. Ve zechri le'dor dor, this is how I am remembered from generation to generation. The report to the Jewish people contained really two different statements, and they're split up, as we mentioned last time. That first it says you should say to them, Ekyeh shlochani aleichem, that Ekyeh has sent me to you. Then Hashem says more to Moshe that you should add and say, Hashem Elokei Avosechem, Hashem the God of your ancestors, the God of Avram, the God of Yitzchak, the God of Yaakov, sent me to you. Apparently Hashem, now what we discussed last time was Hashem was clarifying what name he was using, which means how he was going to project himself. Moshe's first objection to going to be the one to take the Jews out of Egypt was, Hashem, what name are you using? How are you projecting yourself in this Exodus? To which Hashem answers, you should tell the Jewish people, I will be with you. That's the name I'm using. But because that name was never used before in the Chumash, we never find the term Ekyeh used as one of Hashem's names until here. Then Hashem adds to Moshe, you should say to the Jewish people, Hashem, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Yitzchak, the God of Yaakov, has sent me to you. So that they should understand that we're not dealing with a different power. It's the same power. There's only one power in the world, and that is God. That is Hashem. So it is that was what to tell the Jewish people. So to the Jewish people, the main point is, who did the sending? Moshe says, I'm here at the behest of Hashem. Ekyeh. The one who says, I will be with you. That's who I'm speaking for. That's what I'm here for. But that's the extent of what he's to tell the Jewish people. Nothing about leaving Egypt. Nothing about going to Paro. The only thing he's supposed to tell them is that I have been sent to you by Hashem. by God. Then Hashem says, go and gather the elders of the Jewish people and say to them. Now, the first part of what he's supposed to say to them is very similar to what he told the people in general. Hashem Elokei Avosechem Niro Elai, Hashem, the God of your ancestors, has appeared to me. That's a little bit more. It's more than just he sent me. He's actually appeared to me. Elokei Avraham Yitzchak V'Yakov, the God of Avraham Yitzchak V'Yakov, Lamar saying, Pakod Pakadati Eschem, I have remembered you. V'Asha Asoy Lachem B'Mitzrayim, what has been done to you in Egypt. And I have said, I will take you out of the place of affliction of Egypt to the land of the Canaan, Chiti, Amori, Prizi, Chivi, and Yevusi, to a land flowing with milk and honey. So he's supposed to say more to the elders than he did to the Jewish people at large. He's supposed to say to them that Hashem has appeared to me, and Hashem has said that I remember you and what has been done to you, and I have said that I'm going to take you out and take you to Eretz Yisrael. Now, the first point to make over here is pakod pakadati. That's a very important phrase. We talked about this at the end of Parshas Vayechi, right before we finished Bereishis, that Yosef says to the brothers, pakod yivkod Elokim eschem, that Hashem will remember you. Really, Yaakov says it to the brothers first, before he dies, and then Yosef says it. And therefore, that became the phrase which would be said by the person that Hashem sends to take the Jews out of Egypt. That was the phrase that would tip off the Jewish people that they would know that this person is authentic. By using that phrase, pakod pakadati, I have remembered you. The Medrash tells us that when Moshe came and said those words, they did not know the people. This is many years after Yosef had died, many years after Yaakov had died, and the people did not know that that phrase was the phrase that was to be said, which would indicate that this is the right person to take them out. And they went and they found the only person who was still alive, or maybe perhaps one of the few people who was still alive, from that era of Yaakov and the brothers. All the brothers had died, of course. They all died before the slavery. Serach bas Asher.
Pass it on. That's
amazing. Serach, the daughter of Asher. Apparently, it was not so well known. We know it because it's such a famous line, but apparently, it was not passed on so well. And Serach, the daughter of Asher, who was still alive,
wow,
and lives on. Serach bas Asher is one of the ones who never died. So Serach bas Asher, she knew what the phrase was, and when the elders came to her and said that Moshe has said pakod pakadati, then she said, he is the one. She is the one who told the elders, trust him. If he said pakod pakadati, that's the right phrase. But we're not there yet. He hasn't actually done this yet. He's being told by Hashem what to do. Later we'll see what happens when he actually gets there and does this. But right now, all he has said is, all we have is Hashem instructing Moshe what he will do when he gets there. But we have a way to go still, because Moshe has not agreed to do it yet. Yeah.
What does Zachor mean?
Good question. So what's the difference between Zachor and Pakod? Both mean to remember. Both mean to remember. Zechira is to remember, and Pekida is to remember. What's the difference between those two words?
Is Pekida maybe counting? Hashem was counting the time?
What? Say it again.
Pekida, maybe Hashem was counting the time as opposed to just remembering the
time? Pakod means to count? Perhaps. Perhaps. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam
she'akol nivra. Could it be that Zachor is just regular memory, and maybe Pakod is you remember in order to react?
Okay. Okay, you're on the right track. Pakod is a more specific type of memory. Let's remember that Hashem never forgets anything. So the whole term remember in the context of Hashem is really nonsensical. He can't forget. If you can't forget, you can't remember, because you never forgot it. So when we use the term remember with relevance to Hashem, it doesn't mean what it means with us. With us, it means I forgot something. I can't remember where I put my car keys. Now I found out. Now I remember where they were, and I find them. That's I forgot something. I remembered. I can't remember that person's name. Then it hits me. I remember that person's name. Usually, after I've already.
That's zachar.
Right.
That one is
hold on.
Oh, okay.
So that's memory. Hashem doesn't have that because Hashem always remembers.
Right.
So what it means when we say that Hashem remembers, and the Torah says Hashem remembers, is that He has decided to act upon that information. Just as when a human being forgets something, they can't act upon the information because they don't have it, they forgot it. When they remember it, now they act upon it. So if I can't remember where I put my car keys, I can't get in the car. When I remember where I put my car keys, now I can go in the car. So the remembering is what triggers the action. So when we say Hashem remembers, what that means is that now He is prepared to act upon that information. Now that's for just regular zachor, to remember.
Oh, that's zachor.
Yeah, just regular memory. When it says Hashem remembers, that's what it means. It can't mean actually to remember because He never forgets anything. So pakod,
yes,
is more specific than that. In what way is it more specific? So the word pakod can mean, in addition to remember, it can also mean to appoint. To appoint. I am pokade. I can appoint someone to a position. That is also to be pokade. Lifkod. When we use the term pakod, then it's again to remember, but again Hashem never forgets, so it's that He decides to act upon the information. But here it's more specific because He is acting upon the information and appointing the Jews to a certain thing, either a certain position or a certain responsibility or a certain mission. All of that is true, as we know.
Yes.
When we got the Torah, we were given a certain position, we were given a certain mission, and a certain... those are the two main things. A certain position and a certain mission. When we were taken out of Egypt, we weren't taken out of Egypt just to be free. We were taken out of Egypt to be given a special mission, a special responsibility, and a special position. We became Hashem's chosen nation, Hashem's special treasure. That gave us a certain position. We have a position that no other nation shares, but that position is not just for fun. That position is not just for our own benefit, for our own pleasure. That position is a responsibility and a mission. And that was all included in the being taken out of Egypt and given the Torah. So it is not simply a zechira that Hashem acted upon the information. The information here is that the Jews are being afflicted. He didn't just act upon that and stop the affliction, took us out, but He reacted or acted upon it in a way that there was an appointment. There was a responsibility and a mission and a position that was put in place. The Jewish people go from being slaves to getting the Torah, not just not being slaves. So that's more specific than zechira. That's a pakida. That's more specific. Yeah.
I can't remember if it says you and the elders of Israel shall come to the king and so on and so forth. So back then we were the people of Israel, right? And how long were we known as the people of Israel? Since Isaac? Since Yaakov?
Well, B'nei Yisrael means the children of Israel, which is Israel is another name for Yaakov.
Yeah.
So his children are B'nei Yisrael.
So since then we're known as the children of Israel?
I don't know what you mean by we're known. The term B'nei Yisrael, what I'm saying, the term B'nei Yisrael appears already with the children of Yaakov, his sons, the Shvatim, the tribes. But when you ask, were we known that way, I don't know how the Egyptians knew us.
But how did we know us?
Don't know.
Because also Ben Gurion chose Israel. Is that because we are the children of the, but we don't
can't
know.
Speak for him. I don't know. Yes.
But didn't the cupbearer or the baker, I can't remember, say he's simply a Hebrew, an Hebrew?
Mm-hmm.
Did that mean something special?
No. No, it was derogatory.
Uh-huh.
A foreigner. Mm-hmm. He's from across the river.
Mm-hmm.
He's an outsider.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that's the term that Hashem tells Moshe to use with Paro as well, as we'll see in a moment. Mm-hmm. So Hashem tells Moshe to use the phrase pakod pakadati, that I have remembered the Jewish people and what has been done to you. And I have said I'm going to take you out of Egypt, out of the affliction of Egypt, to the land of Israel, to the land of the Kanani, Chiti, Amori, Prizi, Chivi, Yevusi, the land that flows with milk and honey. So Moshe is to tell the elders more than he told the people. The people, all he said was, Hashem has sent me. And he tells them what name Hashem is using. Then, then he is to tell the elders, Hashem appeared to me. Not just Hashem has sent me, but Hashem appeared to me. And he's the Hashem, the God of our ancestors, of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And he has said, I have remembered you and your affliction, and I'm going to take you out to a land of milk and, flowing with milk and honey. So I'm taking you out of here, taking you there. That already is an appointment. Meaning, I'm not just taking you away from the affliction of Egypt, I'm taking you to a special land which has the capacity to have you serve me, the land of Israel, the special land. No mention of plagues, no mention even of being sent out. None of the drama that's going to unfold was he told to tell the elders. Just that, I've remembered you and what's being done to you, and I've decided to take you out and take you to Israel. That's it. Then there's a third set of instructions, a third report, which Moshe is supposed to tell Paro with the elders when they go to Paro. Then he's supposed to elaborate even more and not say anything about Israel, the land of Israel, but to tell a lot of details about the going out. Hashem, the God of the Ivriim, not the God of our ancestors. Here it's the God of the Ivriim, the God of, they translate as the Hebrews, of the those from across the river, the foreigners. The God of the foreigners has happened upon us, not has appeared to us, but has happened upon us. So the presentation is definitely much less direct. The presentation implies a less significant event. The God of these foreigners has happened upon us. Happened to speak to us. What did he say to us? I'm not telling. That's not important. And he's not telling Paro what Hashem said. He's saying, the God of the Ivriim, the God of these foreigners, these people from across the river, has happened upon us. That's all. Now, because that happened, I have a request. I, Moshe, have a request of you, Paro, because of the fact that God has happened upon us. And what's the request? Let us go for a 3-day journey so that we can worship, we can offer sacrifices to Hashem, our God. That's all. So that's all he's supposed to tell Paro. I made a mistake. It's not actually more elaborate. The next part is more elaborate. But what he's supposed to say to Paro is nothing with the Jewish people. He's supposed to tell them what name Hashem is using. With the elders, he's even supposed to tell the elders what Hashem said. Hashem said, I've seen your afflictions, and I want to take you out and bring you to Israel. With Paro, all he's supposed to say is that Hashem, the God of the Hebrews, of the foreign nation here, has happened upon us. Now, he is supposed to use the name Hashem, Yudke Vavke. That's very, very important that he's going to use that term. Because the name Elohim, which just means power, that's a name that the Egyptians would have been familiar with. But the name Hashem, which is a more specific name, that is not a name they would have been familiar with. And we will see later, Paro's reaction is going to be, don't know that one. Never heard of that one. Elohim just means power. It's a more generic term. That's all it means. It
wasn't in his catalog
of gods. That's right. Right. So he's supposed to use the name of... Yeah, he's going to... We'll see later. It gets pretty dramatic later on. But he's supposed to use the name Hashem, the God of the foreigners, has happened upon us. And because of that, I have a personal request. Let us go for a three-day journey to serve him. So we're not asking to go out permanently. We're not asking that we shouldn't be slaves anymore. All we're asking is a three-day furlough.
A weekend.
All right. Give us Memorial Day weekend.
A big barbecue.
Let us go. We want to go for 3 days and offer some sacrifices. Now, he doesn't say we'll come back. That's not what he says. But it's clearly implied. Implication is, it's 3 days. And then, you know. But he never says, and then.
Isn't it a lie?
What?
We only want 3 days, knowing that we're not coming back.
Well, it's not a lie for two reasons. First of all, Paro never agreed. We don't know what would have happened if Paro would have agreed. Had Paro said yes,
right,
they would have struck a deal. Paro never said yes. So if you make an offer and the other side doesn't agree to it, no one's bound to anything.
Even
right?
If you make an offer that you know you can't keep.
Well, I don't know if that's true. Had Paro said yes, it could be they would have gone. The 3 days here is to go get the Torah.
Okay.
Right? Had they gone and received the Torah,
okay,
then
things would have changed.
Then perhaps they would have come back to Egypt. Who knows? But there's more than that. There's more than that. Right. He doesn't say what's going to happen after the 3 days. He just says, let us go for 3 days. And after that 3 days is over, you know, we'll see. So he doesn't tell them anything about that.
You have to remember that nobody ever left Egypt.
Right.
Right.
Right. Nobody ever. No one ever escaped Egypt.
So 3 days was like already very foreign, very unimaginable.
Right. That's right. Yeah.
Don't you think Pharaoh was a little bit sharp and he thought, you know, they want to go for 3 days? Are you joking? I mean, don't you think he would think maybe they want to go for longer?
He could have agreed and sent along an army.
He knew they weren't going anywhere.
I mean, there were no plagues yet. The Jews had no power. They didn't have any weapons. They were subjugated. He could have sent taskmasters along with the Jewish people to go and let them serve their God and then come back. You know, he didn't have to. The reason why he got struck is and beaten is because he refused. And in the beginning, he refused of his own volition. Hashem did not harden his heart. He hardened his own heart.
At that point,
he's of his full mind and body. He's not being coerced at all. Not for the first five plagues. So Hashem then says to Moshe, I know. Now, they're not supposed to tell this to Paro. This is what Hashem tells Moshe. He's tipping him off about the future. I know that Paro is not going to let you go. He's not going to say yes. And I'm going to have to beat him up. This is going to have to happen. And that's what I'm going to do. I am going to beat him up. When he doesn't let you go, I'm going to beat him up. Him and all the Egyptians. With all of my wonders that I'm going to do, and then he will send you out. After I really beat him up, really beat him well, then he'll let you go. And not only that, but when he lets you go, he's not going to let you go begrudgingly. I'm going to make the Jews find favor in the Egyptians' eyes. And when they throw you out, they're going to throw you out with gifts. They're going to say, leave and take whatever you want. And they're going to give you gifts so that you can leave with dignity, with silver, gold, and even with clothing to clothe your children. You're not going to walk out with prison garb. You're going to walk out looking good.
I heard somewhere that the reason it says you will clothe your children is because the Mitzrayim didn't dress very modestly. And so that the cloth could only be used to cover their children.
And that's interesting. Okay.
Oh.
That's interesting. So they couldn't use it for the adults.
Right.
Okay, that's interesting. Now, excuse me one second. Now, if Moshe is going to find a reason to object to this whole system, where would he poke a hole? Now, as Moshe doesn't want to do it, we're going to see Moshe is going to continually object. Where is the potential flaw in this formula? Let's go through it again. Tell the Jews that Hashem Ekyeh has sent me to you. So tell the Jews that Hashem has sent me to you. That's A. Gather the elders and tell them that Hashem has appeared to me and he said that he has remembered us and our affliction and he's going to take us out to Israel. Then you and the elders will go to Paro and tell him that Hashem, the God of the Hebrews, has happened upon us, and now we have a request. We want to go for 3 days to worship. Hashem says, I know Paro's not going to let you go, and I'm going to beat him up, and then he's going to let you go with gifts. So Moshe can't question the parts that Hashem says are going to happen. Because you can't. I mean, Hashem is telling him what's going to happen. What are you going to say? Hashem says it's going to rain tomorrow. You say, no, I don't. You know, Hashem, I don't think it's going to rain tomorrow. I said it's going to rain.
I didn't say that on TV.
Hashem said it's going to happen. What do you mean? You know. So if Hashem tells him, Moshe was not a heretic. Of course he believed. I mean, he's talking to Hashem. He's a prophet. Of course he believes whatever Hashem tells him. So he's not going to question the parts that Hashem says are going to happen. So parts that he said are going to happen is that they will listen to you and you will come, you and the elders of Israel, you will come to the king of Egypt and you will say that Hashem has happened upon us and let us go to worship, and he's not going to listen. I'm telling you, he's not going to listen.
So
I'm
going to. Why send?
Okay, that's a good question. That's a good question. Why send him if you know he's not going to listen? But let's get back to that. That's a good question, right? That's ultimately a good question. Why?
What Moshe would object to?
Oh, okay.
Why are you going to send me if he's not going to listen?
Okay. Okay. Good. Good. So if Paro is not going to listen, what's the point?
I think it's more terrific that the elders with Moses has had an encounter. The elders have this man coming from nowhere.
Okay.
And actually it says here that he appeared to us, which includes the elders, but he didn't appear to the elders.
That's right. Hashem is telling him to say it as the emissary. Appearing to me is to us. I'm just their representative. That would be the intent. But you're right. You're right.
By the unless I misunderstood what you said, that he was asking Moses for 3 days to relieve him, and technically it wasn't the truth.
Right, well, we don't know what would have happened had Paro agreed. Had Paro agreed to the 3 days, they would have negotiated, and you know, then it would be an excellent question if they didn't keep to it. But that's not actually what happened. Paro never agreed.
No,
so there never was a contract. But you're right. The question is, what was the plan if it really was going to be 3 days?
Yeah.
Right. Which is a fair question.
At this stage, Paro has free will, but Hashem knows that he's going to refuse.
Yes.
And so there's the process. It's a process.
Okay.
So we start for 3 days. I know he's going to refuse.
Okay. So you're answering that the reason why Hashem wants to send Moshe, even though Hashem knows that Paro is not going to listen, and Hashem tells Moshe that Paro is not going to listen, that the reason for it is because you have to have process. Why do you need to have process?
Arbitration.
Why do you need process?
You need to prepare.
Prepare who?
The Jews. The Jews and Pharaoh.
Okay. Well, the thing is this, that just as with Avraham, when we spoke about Avraham's 10 tests, Hashem tested Avraham 10 times and he passed them all. Why did Hashem have to test Avraham? A teacher tests a student to figure out whether the student knows the information or not. The teacher doesn't know if the student knows the information, so the teacher tests the student. Hashem doesn't have to test Avraham. Hashem knows whether Avraham believes in him that way or not. He doesn't need to test him.
But Avraham has to know.
Yeah. Avraham didn't know the extent. And we didn't know. It's only through Avraham's tests that Avraham knows, we know, the world at large knows that Avraham is Hashem's special person who is totally trusts Hashem totally. Here, had Hashem not offered Paro the chance, then one could always have said Hashem was unfair. Why didn't he give Paro a chance? He just came and took the Jews out. Maybe Paro would have agreed. Maybe Paro would have been nice. So we need the process in order for everybody to know what kind of person Paro was. Paro was not going to let the Jews go. Finished.
And Paro didn't kill them. He could have wiped that whole group out, and I think that sent a good message to the masses.
I mean that they were protected.
Yeah,
but in the end, it wasn't a whole group. In the end, it was just Moshe and Aaron, as we'll see.
But the people knew that Moshe went and made this request. People knew that the elders were with them, and they came back alive.
Yeah, but we're going to see it wasn't so rosy. They came back alive, but with a harsh decree against the Jews. Right? So let's hold off of what actually happens. The Jews... So the fact that Hashem says that Paro is not going to listen and I'm going to have to beat him up and then he's going to let you go with presents, Moshe can't question that because Hashem says it's going to happen. So why does Moshe now object? Let's read the next pasuk. That's on page 306, pasuk Aleph, verse 1, chapter 4. Vayan Moshe vayomer. And Moshe answered and said, Vehein lo yaminu li. They will not believe me. V'lo yishmu b'koli. They won't listen to my voice. Ki omru, for they will say, Lo niray lecha Hashem. God didn't appear to you. Moshe here objects because he says to Hashem, the one flaw in your plan is they're not going to believe me. They will say, God didn't appear to you. Now, how can Moshe say that? Hashem said to Moshe that you should talk to the Jews, then gather the elders, and they will listen to you. It says explicitly in Pasuk Yudches, verse 18, Vishamu lekolecha, they will listen to your voice. Moshe says, they will not listen to my voice. And Hashem said they're going to listen to you.
So it's the same thing that you said about Abraham, that it was for the benefit of telling the Jews.
Okay, but Moshe is saying they're not going to listen to me, but Hashem said they are going to listen to you. How can he question that?
But he didn't tell the people that, did he? Right?
No, that he didn't tell the people.
That's what I'm saying, that it was a message delivered to the people as a warning to do it in steps.
Okay, so hold that thought. Yeah.
Does Moshe not understand that he has a sort of password? Is he ignorant of that?
I don't think he's ignorant. I don't think he's ignorant of it. I don't think so.
If that's the case, it's a surprise that he thinks the Jews won't listen to him.
I think though he is concerned about... He does have a concern. He does have a concern that despite the password, he won't be listened to. See... Why does Hashem tell him to go to the people first and then gather the elders? He says, go to the people, tell the people that Hashem sent me to you and what name he told me to use, and then gather the elders. Why not just go straight to the elders?
Planting seeds.
Yeah, he wants to spread the word.
Okay, so Hashem wants it to be a more communal thing. It's not going to be a hush-hush thing. He wants a buzz. Can you imagine? The people are in Egypt. They're in Egypt for and they are downtrodden slaves. Right, that's right. They're downtrodden slaves, and here somebody comes and says that Hashem has sent him to us. It's going to create a buzz. Whether people are skeptical or not, it's certainly going to get around that there's somebody who's claiming that Hashem cares about us. Hashem has sent him to us. The buzz is created. Then go and gather the elders. Once there's a buzz, the elders are the next step, because the elders now have to figure out, is this person for real or not? They're the ones, it's their responsibility to know, to find out, what is this person? Does this person have any credentials? What's his credibility?
Well, we know that the Jews were skeptical of the occurrence even prior to that. And by learning especially, you know, the history of rejection, and the formula would be giving a little bit at a time.
Right, right. So like you said before, it has to be gradual.
Yeah.
So create the buzz, then gather the elders, and tell the elders more than you said before. Tell the elders that God has appeared to me, and he has said that he wants to take us out and up to Israel. Then they will listen to you, Hashem said to him, and you will all go to the king. So Moshe says, they won't believe me. They will not believe me. And they will not listen to my voice. For they will say, God did not appear to you. Moshe is questioning his own credibility. He's not questioning Hashem. He's saying to Hashem, I'm not worthy. They're not going to believe me. He's not saying the Jews are incapable of believing somebody, but who am I? Remember, the one thing we know about Moshe, the one superlative that the Torah ever uses about Moshe, that he is greater than all other people, is
humility.
Humble. Moshe does not think highly of himself. Now, he doesn't think that he's a nobody. He knows that he's a great person, but he's not proud of himself. He doesn't walk around thinking, I am God's gift to humanity. That's not Moshe's way of thinking. Moshe is very much appreciative of the gifts that he has, and he is not a person who walks around with that sense of pride. So Moshe says, the Jewish people are not going to trust me. They will not listen to my voice. I'm not the person that will inspire them to believe. And therefore, they will say, God did not appear to you. Yes?
It's because he felt he was defective of speech. And if he...
We're not there yet. We're not there yet. He's going to say that later.
No. But in his mind...
I understand that. But we can't say that, because Moshe will say that later. Moshe will say that, and that's the next step. So far, Moshe has objected on the grounds of, what name are you going to use? That was his first objection. Meaning that, Hashem, if you're going to use the name of Elohim, I'm not prepared to do this because it's not something the Jews can accept. Hashem satisfied that objection. Now he's objecting that they're not going to believe me. Now, later he's going to object because he's going to claim his speech impediment will be a problem. But he hasn't said that yet. That's not the issue right now. So he says they will not believe me. Now Hashem responds to Moshe. Hashem responds to Moshe on page 306, Beis, verse 2. Vayomer ilav Hashem. And Hashem said to him, Ma ze v'yodecha? What is this in your hand? Vayomer, and he said, Mate. It is a staff. What is this in your hand? And he said, it is a staff. Now, the word ma'zeh is written as one word. If you notice, in the Hebrew, instead of spelling it mem-hei, and then a space, and then zayin-hei, Because ma and ze, what is this, are two different words in Hebrew. Ma, ze. Instead, it's spelled mem, zayin, hey, as if it were one word. In the Torah, it just says mem, zayin, hey. You read it as two words, ma, ze. But it's spelled ma, ze, or mi, ze. The vowels can change. So Rashi explains that Hashem is saying to Moshe, from this that is in your hand, meaning from what the way you just acted, you are liable for punishment.
No.
Because this is Lashon Hara.
Oh.
What you just did is Lashon Hara. It's evil speech. Now,
against the people.
Against the people. Against the people. Now, that's a pretty hefty accusation. I mean, Moshe did not say anything terrible. He said, they're not going to believe me. Because who am I for them to believe? What? How can I do this? In fact, I neglected to say, really, Moshe's first objection, this is really his third objection, his first objection to Hashem was, who am I to take the Jews out? What, I have no ability to do that. And Hashem told him, no, I'm going to be with you. You'll be able to take them out. Then he said, what name are you going to use? Now he says, they're not going to believe me. Now he's saying the same thing. Every objection he has amounts to the same thing, which is that I'm not worthy of doing it. That's ultimately every objection. He's going to have five objections total, and each one points to the same thing, that Moshe is saying, I'm not worthy. First he said, who am I to take the Jews out of Egypt? That was his first objection. Then he says, God, what name are you going to use? I'm not capable of speaking in your name. If you're going to be Elohim, I'm a woman, right? Now he's saying, the Jews will never believe me. I'm not believable. Later he's going to talk about his speech impediment, as Linda brought up. But here, even though ultimately it was that he was doubting himself, he was saying, they won't believe me, Hashem is saying to him, it's still Lashon Hara, because he couched it about the Jews. He didn't say, it's a very subtle issue. He didn't say, I am not believable. He said, they won't believe me.
Yeah.
The way that it's phrased on Moshe's level, and remember, we're talking about Moshe, we're not talking about anybody in this room, we're not talking about people like us, where, you know, we have trouble with actual Lashon Hara, unfortunately. But Moshe, we're talking about a person who was very refined and was above the typical problems that we have. But nevertheless, he subtly sent something in a way which implied a little slight denigration of the Jewish people. Yeah.
Wouldn't you say, maybe I'm wrong, but Gottenemel was a little frustrated with Moses after all of his doubts. And then he brought that up at the end.
Well, we're going to see later that it says that Hashem became angry with Moshe.
Yeah.
But it doesn't say it yet.
But it implies it.
Well, I don't know. At this point, I'm not sure. I don't think that he was angry yet. I don't think that there was anger, but there was.
It's not anger. It's a little bit of
admonishment.
Yeah.
A little bit of a, you know, got to be careful, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he warns Moshe here. Yeah.
Would you just explain a little better for me to understand the mizer?
Yeah. Rashi says you read it as a mizer from this, from this that it's in your hands, not the staff, from this. That you said that's in your hand because you just did it. Therefore, you should be punished. Now, what's going to happen is that I can't read the clock. It's almost 8:30. Okay.
About 25 after.
Okay. So we're not going to have time to go through the next few things. But what's going to happen is that Moshe's staff, as you know, is going to turn into a snake. A snake is always associated with Lashon Hara. Moshe's hand is going to get saras. Always associated with Lashon Hara. That's what's happening over here. Moshe is being accused of Lashon Hara. That's what's happening. Which is very significant that the most important leader we've ever had, at his inception of leadership, Hashem calls him on Lashon Hara. You see the importance of what one says. Just how careful a person has to be.
But he thought he was only talking about himself the whole time.
It's subtle. He wasn't overtly saying Lashon Hara, but Hashem tells me I got to rephrase it. So we're going to see what happens next with the next few psukim, the next few verses. What happens? Well, this will have to wait till next week with how Hashem deals with Moshe's claim they're not going to listen to him. The claim is not a bad claim. In other words, Moshe wasn't wrong for being worried about it. And we'll see that Hashem is going to address it. But as Hashem is addressing it, he's also going to be giving Moshe a little bit of mussar, a little bit of admonishment, as he's addressing the point. I do want to end off with telling you that over Pesach, my cousin was visiting from out of town. Some of you know Hanina Falk, and his son Yaakov was visiting from out of town, and they came over to our house to visit with us one afternoon on Pesach. So Yaakov was there with his son. His son is 6 years old. So Yaakov was telling me what he's doing these days. So he's working in Washington, D.C. He works for the Department of Transportation, and he was telling me what he does for the Department of Transportation. So it sounded to me like it was very, there's a lot of work involved, and a lot of logistics and a lot of information has to be processed. So I said to him, "Do you have a staff?" So he said, "Yes." To which his 6-year old looked up and said, with a very funny look on his face, "No, you don't."
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to torahmediaatlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.